Good morning, Barcelona. Welcome to Thursday in English Radio on RKB 106.9 FM. I'm Virgil, still and always. Barcelona has been a center for growth in Europe, if not in the world, and a key factor in that strength has been the number of people immigrating to the city from everywhere. But as many of us know, integrating ourselves into the rhythm of a new home is not an easy task. Joining us today is a specialist in expats and relocation services, Roberto Rodriguez. Welcome to the show, Roberto.
Thanks, Virgil. Thanks to everyone. Thanks for the invitation, for all the staff members for Radio Canal Barcelona. Really happy to be here.
Well, we're happy you're here. Well, you know, you work for MapFree as an advisor to individuals and corporations. Where are most of the people that you work with coming from? What countries?
Yeah.
And are they a mix of individuals, families, corporations?
Yeah, that's it. Well, they are all over around the world. I have clients that are from England, Scotland, most of them that they are from Europe, but also we have clients from South Africa, Australia, States. So they are from all over the world, but mainly from Europe.
Yeah. Have you seen an increase in the last few years of people coming here?
Definitely. There is a big increase here because, well, the economy now is starting to get slightly better, which helps. So expats, they're coming more often here to Barcelona and to Spain just because of the economy is getting a bit better, as I said. So it's a good place to live, I will say.
Now, what about the Brexit? Are you seeing more people from the UK deciding to come here or what?
So many questions about Brexit. Who knows what's going to happen? I have so many questions from people from England, Scotland, Ireland, that they are asking me about what's going to happen, how difficult it's going to be to obtain a visa and here. But as far as I know, everything should be all right now until we know a bit more about it. But
until they know too.
Yeah, until they know too, they don't really know what's going on. But anyway, yeah.
Well, we'll be back to talk more with our guest right after this. We'll be right back. Well, that should get you dancing in your chairs this morning. That was Nutville by the great drummer Buddy Rich. Well, we're just talking there. You know, there are several elements to the process of making a new home here in Spain. I mean, the first is obtaining a NIA, the Numero de la
Identificación de Extranjeros. Yes.
Now, explain the process, and does it differ for those coming from Europe versus coming from other countries?
So, as we can imagine, coming from Europe is quite easy for European citizens. It is still a bit of a process. The first thing that I will recommend is to go to the Spanish embassy in the town or the city. So they will give them all the information about it. And it also depends why is the reason to come into Spain. If you came into student, if you came into to work, or just for tourists, or for one of those, there will be different ways to come. But well, they have to be really clear that within 3 months of your arrival in Spain, you have to go to the foreign office or to the local police station. They will, hopefully, they will give you all the information there. Sometimes it's not easy as it sounds, but yeah, and then you have to prove yourself that you have a contract, that you have sufficient funds to live here for a while. But as I said, Europeans are really it's easier than non-Europeans. Non-Europeans, then they can come here if they want to buy a property, if they're employed, self-employed, sufficient funds. They will ask you for more information. The way to do it is kind of the same, but it will be more admin that you will need to do, and it will take a while. It can take up to 3 months, 6 months sometimes, depends on the situation. There is something easier if you are not resident from Europe that calls Golden Visa. That is, if you want to invest or you want to have an investment, a property here of more than €500,000, the admin work will be much easier. They will give you the NIA right away, and it will be as I say easier for them if they go through this way. Also, will help if you have a contract, if you already have an offer from a company, if you are a student as well. It's kind of easy, but I always recommend that within the first 3 months in Spain that you have all of this organized, because otherwise it can be a bit.
Well, I know it took me 6 months to finally get mine. And also, if you are a retired person, you come in as a retired person.
Correct.
You know, there's one process there, which then you just have to prove that you've got health insurance.
Health insurance from your country.
And you've got financial responsibility.
Responsibility.
Now,
right.
For those people who want to come here and work, ideally, if you have a contract from a company here or whatever, that's the perfect thing. But if you want to come here and, say, be an autonoma,
an independent, a freelance,
now, how does that work?
So if you want to come to Spain as a freelance, you will need to show them the project. What you would like to build up, what will be the business. You will need to inform them of all the activity of the business, and then show them a bit of the figures if you have had before that company or not. And then if it's a startup company, then they will ask you for some information about it. They will need to know, as I say, what is the activity and everything. You will need to go as well to the tax department as well here in Spain, so you can open the registration for the business, and there is a few other admin work to do with the social security, which is pretty important. Everyone has to have them have to register to the social security. So all these steps, the first one will be, as I said, go to the tax department, register the business, and then get the social security done. And then from there, if everything is approved, it's kind of easy, then you will get your NIA done. And then the most important part is the NIA. If you want to have a business here, if you want to pay taxes, if you want to have the social security, be within the social security system, you will need to have the NIA. So it's quite important to have that resolved.
Now, just for example, say you come here as a tourist and you decide, oh, I love this place, I want to stay here. I don't have a job yet, I don't have a business, but maybe I want to do freelance work, maybe designing websites or just teaching English.
Yeah.
Now, can you get to become an autonoma and you pay a certain amount per month?
You will come here as a tourist. Then you will be within the first 3 months as a tourist. If you're thinking about opening a business, it's not going to be that easy because you already have the tourist visa. And then maybe you will not have the time to do it. So if you do, and if everything is quick and you have, if you are lucky, then to be a freelance is kind of the same. Then go to get the NIE done to the police station or to the foreign office, get the social security done as well, tax department, and then you can start opening your own company. And there is a bit of regulation with social security about that. You have to pay the quota every month. Mm-hmm. The first year, they have just changed that the freelance quota these last few months. So now it's 50 euros per month. And then after one year, you will need to pay around 300 euros. So you will be supporting the social security and you will have some benefits.
Okay. Now, the various statuses that you talked about here, it affects your ability to participate in the Social Security system.
Yeah.
Now, if you're here, let's say, as a retired person without a work permit, you really can't participate in Social Security.
Correct. Okay. Correct. You will be able to get your pension here. There is a card called TIE, a SIP card, that you will need to fill a form, which is called S1. If you're under 65 years old, it costs you around 60 euros. And then older than 65, higher than that is 157, around that. So you will be able to get your pension here, but you will need to demonstrate that you have been obtaining your pension in your original country.
Country, right. Okay. Yeah. Now, because of this increase in immigration that we're seeing here in Spain and the complexity of the process, and it is complex.
It is really complex.
We're seeing more offerings from legal firms, individual counselors, et cetera. Yeah. What can we expect in terms of the costs associated with doing that versus doing it ourselves?
Well, ourselves will be not expensive at all. We'll be kind of... It will be just more that cost will be timing. Timing will be the issue there. A lawyer fees could be up to 2,000 euros, depending on your situations, depending if all your family is coming, just yourself. So everything will depend. But if you want to have it everything quite quick, because lawyers and legal firms, they have appointments really quick. They know how to do it. They will show you the way. And sometimes it's worth it. Even for myself and my wife that is from Australia, the first time that we came here, she came here, she did it by herself, and it was a total nightmare. We didn't have the information, so we went to so many places.
Yes, I know.
I
did it
you
myself.
Can tell, right? Yeah. And then when we came back after 5 years living in Australia, we hire a lawyer because she got her NIE expired. So, and because she lived in Australia for 5 years, then she has to renew it again. And it was, again, a total nightmare. So we were like, let's do it with a lawyer because and we were running out of time. So that's the reason to do it. By your own, the cost will be, as I said, no more than 100 euros, 200 euros.
Just the regular fees.
Just the regular fees. But if you do it with a lawyer, there are so many lawyers out there. Be really careful with that.
Now, with that caveat, what kind of services do you and MAPFRE offer? For people coming in to help them get residency and all of
residency,
that?
Residency, we will provide all the advice for free. Like, we provide advice. There is no commitment with the advice that we support. We will provide them about, the NIE, how to obtain the papers, the right papers, if you come to a freelance, if you want to be, if you are self-employed, if you have already a contract. We will help you with all of that, but mainly with healthcare as well. Social Security will explain you about that. And the most important thing when you go to another country is to understand, to be secure about the Social Security and the health system. You have to know about it. It is quite important because the social system here is universal, as most of you know. But you have to be covered in terms of travel insurance, accident insurance. So we also provide support on those terms, so you can be protected because you might not know how does it work here in Spain.
Well, the key thing we need to ask right now is how can people find out more information about you and about MAPFRE?
Yeah, well, in the MAPFRE website you will find most of the information, but I will need to say that I'm kind of the main point of contact. So if you want to get more information, you can just email me. The email address is Robert. I will say that in is RIROBER at MAPFRE.com. Or you can either call me. I know that I'm receiving a lot of calls from most of you, but you feel free to call me. My phone number is 722-723-098, and we are in MAPFRE, in Torre MAPFRE, in the tower next to in front of the casino. So more than welcome for all of you to help you out and to give you some advice.
Perfect. We'll be back to talk more with Roberto right after this. And that was Donald Byrd with Just My Imagination. You know, one of the other elements that's really critical to living here is access to health care. Yeah. Now, what are the various options to ensure the new arrivals will have their health care needs met?
Yeah, so, well, with the health care, everyone here, and when I say everyone, is everyone, even though you're a tourist, and even though you have the right papers, if you have an emergency, you can go to the hospital. Here in Spain, we have the Social Security, as I say, which is universal, so everyone can attend. But if you are coming here for study, or if you're going to be self-employed, or if you already have a contract, you will need to register in the Social Security. Most of the times, if you are coming here with a contract, the company will do it for you. In your salary, they will take you out some money to the Social Security. And then most of the time, and this is really important, since a few years ago, if you're coming with your visa, you will need to prove that you have a private health care. And that's where we can really help you from MAFRE. With the healthcare, the private health care, we have one system for all those that they will need it and then will need to sell it. And we have just do a project with another partners to have this healthcare, private healthcare for all of you guys that you're coming with your visa, because most of the times you will need it before coming here. So that would be one thing to have in mind before coming.
Yeah, that was the thing. I know when we came here, we had to get a company, Sanitas here.
Yes.
That would say that, all right, they're going to be covered for their healthcare needs here in Spain. So, I mean, I think that's necessary.
It is. Yeah. And you have to be really careful with the covers, with the conditions of this, because there are many, many private health insurance out there, but the covers and the conditions are not extremely good. So you have to be really careful with that. Yes, read the papers properly. Don't worry to ask questions until you have the right cover, because I have some clients that they had in another company is this private health, and it was not valid for the visa. So be careful with that one.
So, I mean, what are some of the things that you need to know about that?
Well, you will need to know that it has to cover at least 30,000 euros in the private health. If you have an issue, at least the minimum is 30,000. And if for whatever reason you have an accident, or if you die here in Spain, hopefully it will not happen that while you're here, but just to repatriate you to your original country, you have to have that included in the private health product. So be really careful with that. Those are the two main ones, 30,000 euros, as I said, and to repatriate to your country, to your original country, that should be included in the product.
Now, speaking of that, obviously, we look at death benefits. We had a policy here that provided funeral costs.
Yes.
For here in Spain.
For here in Spain, correct.
Now, that seems to be, if you don't want to necessarily ship the body back to your native country, and you decided, I've made my home here, that's where, I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily a very expensive option, is it? Because I know compared to some of the things I've seen in the UK, that can run into the multiple thousands of dollars.
It could be extremely.
Here I've seen, policies, ours was like, for two of us, less than 400 euros.
Well, if you want to get a funeral paid here and you want to, your body would like to be here, you don't want to take it to your original country, it will be much cheaper, of course. Depends of your age. That's really, really important. So if you are worried about that, I will recommend to start as soon as possible to get information about it. Because when you are getting older, the cost can be as well quite important. Mm. A funeral, the average cost will be around 8,000, 10,000 euros just for a funeral. So if you have death cover, then everything will be much easier for you. You will be paying as soon as you can if you're worried about it, because then it will be included, all the legal advice, all the documents. You, if something happened like that, you just want to, you don't want to be dealing with all those important things that you have to control when someone passed away. So it is really important to have that in mind, because it could be really, really expensive. As I said, the average could be 8,000, 10,000 euros. And if you want to repatriate your body, that's even more, maybe 20,000 euros or something. It is a bit crazy, but you have to be really careful and have that in mind.
Be prepared. Now, another thing that's also important about having a good life here, especially for younger people who have children, is the appropriate school systems. Now, what about the school system? We have, you know, the public system, we have various private systems, and we have
semi-private. We have the public system here that works pretty well. The education in Spain, I will say, is higher than the average in Europe. Depends of the age of the kids. From 0 to 3 years, we have the kindergartens. Then we have preschool from 3 to 6, primary school 6 to 12, and so on. So we have the public. If you are coming with your kids, I will totally recommend to get that sorted through the council, through the town hall, because if depend of the area that you're living, you will be added to that area, and you will need to look for a school in such area. If you want to go to a semi-private, the public school is totally free, almost free. The semi-private, you will have to pay no more than 200-300 per year is kind of good. And it could be a better education in the semi-private, but it's less students. And then you have the private schools where can be, I mean, depends of your budget. You can just go there. I will recommend private schools for them languages as well, and the installations are always pretty good. But now in Spain, we're trying to get into the language, into this English and everything, so everyone can be. Can learn English easier from the beginning, which was always a problem in Spain. And now, they are supporting all of that, and all the most of the public schools they do English in all the subjects. So,
well, now in Barcelona, they teach in Catalan,
yes,
or Castellano. If you ask for it.
If you ask for, most of the public schools will be in Catalan. There will be some subjects in Spanish. You can choose in some of the public schools, but I will say that most of them, they will have it in Catalan. So I will maybe go for either the semi-private or private if you are not really convinced about the Catalan, or maybe because your kids, there will be a big difference to start school with a new language because they already have the Spanish and the Catalan. So that will be an experience that you will have to go through. You will need to invest some time to have a look at that, and see if you wouldn't mind to your kids to have the Catalan in the public school or the Spanish. Will be a mix sometimes, and then in private schools you can choose.
Okay. Now, also, there is a program that the Catalan government offers online to help you learn Catalan.
Yes, it is totally free, which is pretty good. My wife and I'm trying, but my wife is already in that, taking that course. It's totally free for everyone, which is really helpful. Mm-hmm. When I will have more time, I will include myself there. That's pretty helpful, and I think that's a pretty good idea, and also because it's free, so it is no cost related there. And it will be good that if you're living in Catalonia and in Barcelona, that you will get a bit of knowledge about the language, which is really important. If you have been living here for a while, or if you would like to live here for a while, it will be good to learn a bit of Catalan as well.
Okay. Well, you're listening to 106.9 FM, Radio Canal Barcelona, English Radio Thursday. We'll be back to talk more with Roberto right after this.
Stick a stone, it's the end of the road, it's the road. rest of the stump. It's a little alone. It's a sliver of glass. It's life, it's the sun. It's night, it's death. It's a trap, it's a gun. The oak when it blooms. A fox in the brush. The night in the wood. The song of a thrush. The wood of the wind. A cliff, a fall. A scratch, a lump. It's nothing at all.
Was Nicole Henry with the song from Antonio Carlos Jobim, Waters of March. Now, finding a home here is probably one of the most difficult things to do when you move to a new country.
Correct.
You know, do we buy a home? Do we rent a home? What kind of things can you offer to help people make the initial decision in terms of what they want to do?
I can offer them my own experience that I have had here before and in all the countries that I have lived. I'm not an expert on the area, but I have worked as a property manager before. Renting will be the best way to go at the beginning, I will say, because it all depends how long you would like to be here. For renting, there is a bit of a process as well sometimes with property managers. The fees are not cheap sometimes. They ask you for these 2 months in advance for a bond. And I will recommend to either contact us or have a look in the internet, because they cannot ask you for more than some months or for more. The bond should be in line with the rent and everything. So you have to be really careful with that. So at the beginning, I will say that renting is a good option. But if you wanna, if you already have decided to buy a house here, it will be a really good option as well. If you have the money to buy a house for more than $500,000, as I said before,
right,
you will get the golden visa and everything. It will make your life much easier. So if you're going to buy, then go for it. There are so many places around Barcelona and in Spain that you could live. If you like the city and nightlife and everything, just go to ride in the middle of the city. Like, I live in Elborn right now. There are a lot of tourists there, and it's quite a good vibe there as well. In El Gótico as well, El Example. There are so many places around Barcelona that are really nice. I would recommend, as I say, the contact as we work with a partner that takes care of this, and it will help you out to find the right home for you. And for renting, the same. As I said, just be careful with what they ask you, because sometimes they are a bit tricky with that.
Right. Now, obviously, one of the things that you have to have with the home, whether you're buying or renting, is insurance.
Correct.
Now, what kind of insurance do you need to have if you're renting, for example?
If you're renting, you are not required to have... Well, you are in the contract, but then you can negotiate that with the owner. The owner should have one home insurance for the main extractor of the unit, of the apartment. And then if you are renting, then you can have your own for your own belongings, like the contents of the apartment. And it's really, I will definitely recommend to have one, because then you will not, you just avoid problems with the property manager, with your landlord. So it is not expensive at all. It could be, depends, but could be around 300, 500 euros per year. And you will be totally covered. Will be someone there taking care of you if something is damaged, or if someone has stolen your belongings. So for many reasons, it will be a really good option to have home insurance. And if you are an owner, definitely, I definitely recommend one. Most of the times it's compulsory. And having not a home insurance is just too risky not to have it. So you will be just live in peace if you have one, because it can be really, really tough to go through a few things that could happen at your home, and with that insurance you will not be covered at all. If you have I don't know, as you said, if someone stole you anything that could be value, so if your apartment gets flooded or anything like that, imagine how many hundreds of thousands of dollars will cost that.
Well, that's a cute thing. See, you're renting an apartment, and there's the water tank breaks and the water comes down into your apartment. Now, where's the responsibility there?
I work as a strata manager, so most of the times, well, there will be some regulations in each building, but most of the times, for example, the water tank will be either the owner, or if it's from the community, from the building, will be the building who will pay for it. So it depends. Let's say that the walls, all the electric installations and everything will be the building, the strata who will pay for it. And then just inside your unit, sometimes it could be depends. If you have a plumber that goes there and is telling you this water leaks coming from upstairs or from a pipeline that is a communal pipeline, then it will be the strata. So I would recommend that before sending anyone to your apartment, just double check with your landlord or with your property manager, because they should give you all the information in the contract about those kind of incidents.
But in those cases, anyway, the contents are not necessarily going to be, say, if your clothes got ruined.
Yeah.
That's if you don't have your own personal insurance, you're...
Correct. If you don't have your own personal insurance, as I said before, it can be a nightmare and really expensive to fix that.
Just a bit. Now, also in terms of the other costs, you talked a little bit about when you're renting, there's the bond or the security deposit, we say, of some months. 2 months is usually the norm, and they'll try to get more.
Yeah.
Now, if you're buying a property, are there costs associated with that?
Yes. Well, there is a list of costs that you will have to have in mind. The first of all is the notary fees, which will be around 1,000 euros. Then the property registry costs will be around 500 euros. Then The gestoría cost, which is some taxes that you have to pay, will be around 300, 400. The property transfer tax will be around 4%. Property valuation for the bank mortgage could be normally around 800 euros. And then you have to pay the taxes, the IVA, which is 10%.
Of the value of the property.
Of the value of the property. That's for if you are buying. If you are selling, and if you do it through a property manager, the agency commission could be around 4-5%. Capital gains tax will be, well, either in Spain we have 19%, 20%, or 23%. The income tax provision, it will be a 3% for non-resident only. And energy certificate, which is now compulsory, it will be around 300, 400 euros. Yeah.
So that's sizable numbers there.
There are a few numbers there that we have to have in mind when we are buying or when you are selling. When we are selling, I will always recommend that if you have the time to do it your own. Like, there is no need. As I said before, it's about timing, and it's about if it is too complex or not. And if you have a bit of knowledge about it, it would be just maybe better just to do it yourself. But if you don't mind, if you want to forget about it because you don't have time and because you have the money, then just get a property manager to do it for you.
Okay. Now, you also talk about providing services to business owners.
Yes.
What are some of the key need-to-know issues for those who are setting up a business here in Catalonia?
Yeah, well, if you're going to open your own business here, as I did a few years ago, first of all, before anything that you have to take care of is just to do a good business project. Just have a look at your competitors and be really careful where you rent or buy an office, because that could be a big difference. Then, just to register your business, you have to go to the government office to register as a freelance, social security. And your knee, as well, as always, you have to have prepared for that. Once you have registered your business, which is kind of quick, the Spanish government, they like people registering business and do business here because it's
they want the taxes, yes.
More taxes, tax related. But then from my point of view, it's really, really important those terms related to insurance. Be really careful with this, please, because it's really, really important that you have control of that. You have to have your liability insurance and accident insurance. Then you can have sick leave because the Social Security doesn't cover much at all in those terms. Mm. Building contents, maybe a life insurance if you have your own company. So you don't have to pay more taxes if something happened to you, you have a discapacity or even, as I say, you pass away. And health insurance. All of those types of insurance, they should be compulsory for all of you if you're opening a business. I have many clients that they don't have the knowledge or they have not heard about it. And all of those have to be in mind before opening an office because it could be really challenging sometimes.
Now, what kind of insurance do you need to provide to your employees?
Well, you have to have, depends of which kind of business are you open, and depends if your employees, they are freelance or they are your own employees that you will pay them with a salary. In the salary, you will pay them the Social Security for them, so that you will take it out from the salary. And then if they are autonomous, then they will be covered. Saying that, liability insurance will be most of the times compulsory, and accidents insurance as well. It all depends on the activity of your business. I mean, if it's an admin business, the requirements are not at minimum compared with, I don't know, with a vet. If you open a vet clinic for animals, then the accidents could happen easily. And that will, you need to be really careful with that and make sure that all your workers are covered.
Now, one of the things that we're seeing happening here in Barcelona is the increase in the digital economy in terms of more companies that are technology-driven and they are involved in intellectual situations as opposed to physical things. Yeah. Now, in those kind of situations, we see a lot of companies hiring autonomous for part-time work.
Part-time work.
Now, there's been a thing here in Europe where they made an example out of Google.
Yeah.
In terms of Google saying, well, these people are all independent contractors. They're working less than 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
But in reality, the courts have said, you know, no, that's not the case. These are really full-time employees, yeah, and you've got to treat them as such.
Yeah, to treat them as self. Yeah. If you have your own business, as I say before, be really careful with the contracts that you have got with your employees. If they are self-employed and you are paying them a salary, I would recommend to have someone to take care of that, a human resources company or someone that could help you to be really careful with the salary, that everything is included in the pay slip and you are paying the right amount, because sometimes for the social security and for taxes, you can direct less taxes or more depending on the salary of your employees. And for freelance, it is totally fine that you have only freelance for part-time or just for full-time, but make sure that this this insurance covers that you have for them, they are the right ones. They will be covered for the social security, but as I said, they will cover the minimum. So if you have an accident at work, you have to be really careful that not just the social security, if not maybe a private insurance will cover any issue or any accident within the work.
And also, from a converse standpoint, if you're an employee,
yeah,
you should be certain that your employer,
yeah,
has the coverage for you.
Correct. Both ways. Yeah, mm-hmm. Both ways. So if you are an employee or an employer, you have to know or just get some advice from us or from someone else to be, if you are concerned, to be sure that you have the right cover. Because, as I said, most of the times, contract can be a bit messy and not difficult to understand. And I will definitely recommend to have that review before starting anywhere in any company.
Well, we'll be back for some closing comments right after this. And that was Ray Oviedo with Mood Swing. Well, you know, talk about moods and everything. We were just, again, talking about some of the things you need to know and be concerned about. Obviously, here, you know, we talk about our transportation system is really great. You know, we've got the metro and the buses and everything. It's fantastic. And we also have bicing, which is wonderful. You can just grab a bike and, you know, drop it where you need to drop it. But with all of those things, you know, we need to be concerned about, you know, can bad things happen? You know, if you're on a bus and there's an accident on the bus, or you're hit by a car or a moto while you're out there on one of those methods of transportation, insurance can become an important thing.
It can be definitely an important thing. I have many clients that sometimes we ask them, or just people interested on this insurance for accidents or for life insurance. If you have an accident on the bike, Social Security will cover you with not much. The cost of that will be, as I said, will be covered, but the coverage will be minimum. And then it's about timing again. If you have if you need surgery, or if you need to attend the Social Security, the timing can be delayed. A surgery that is not an emergency for more than a year. And it causes you a bit trouble if you cannot work or go to work. But again, emergency situations is just life or death. And I will definitely recommend that if you use a bike, motorbikes, that I think that Barcelona is the city with more motorbikes in all Europe. Please be in mind that to have just an accident insurance or life insurance will make your life or your family life much easier. If you have an accident, you get got a disability or something like that, or just a partial disability, that could be a total issue for you and for your family, because all the income that you are bringing to your home, you will maybe not be able to do it, and you wanna have some kind of cover with that. It is the cost of this insurance are a minimum, no more than €200 per year, and most of you will think that it will not happen, but when it that happen, then not just you, if not your family, and the trouble that will make
it's a family thing.
It really is a family thing. If you care about your family, if you care about yourself, and if you only want to have economical issues in the future, if something like this happens, for yes, as I said, something minimal per year, it is a good way to cover yourself.
Well, we've talked about a lot of contingencies here in terms of living here, and we appreciate that. Now, if our listeners, again, want to get more information from you, how can they get it?
Yes, for sure. I'm always open to anyone, 24/7. I receive WhatsApps, Facebook messages, even in LinkedIn. Email me, call me, feel free. I'm always there. I have gone through all of this before. I know how tough and difficult it is, and I am here to help. So feel free to call me. As I say, my phone number is 722-723-098, or email me to, I will spell it again, RIROBER@mafre.com.
Well, thanks again, Roberto. We really appreciate it. And everybody out there, be safe, be well, have a great one, Barcelona, and come back to listen to us next week.
See you all. Mi canción es un grito.
pecho no cabe más felicidad. Todo canta al besarte a ti y al verte sonreír. Soy tan feliz con tu amor. Una nueva emoción vibra en mi corazón. En el mundo no hay nadie más dichosa que yo.